family, and it's always been about family. This church is a family. We read all these scriptures of Jesus saying, I and the Father are one. This is Christ Jesus saying, I, Jesus, the Son of God, are one with the Father. He and I are one. And his very favorite name for God, Father. My Father in heaven. They said, how should we pray? My Father, our Father, who art in heaven. And whenever he referred to the Lord God, he said, ask of the Father what you will, and he will do it. And Jesus often said things like, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what the Father is saying. And on he'd say about one, we are one, and that those you have committed to me, that they would be one in us, one, always one. And so this morning in our Bible study, you missed it. We talked about one what? We are one. Is it one, we are one in unity? Are we are one thing? We are one of the answers, well, certainly we are one in heart and spirit. Cool. Why don't you just throw it out? What are we one? What's the church supposed to be? One what? One in, one of, one family, lovely, more? Speak one in spirit. That is exactly right. Yes, one voice. Wow, exactly true. That's scripture. Absolutely right. One in truth. Absolutely. There's one truth. I am the truth, Jesus said. Not many truths. I am the one. I am the truth. He's one way. What else are we one? One, we are one. Love. We are one in love. We should have one love. Oh, my goodness. Yes. One. Body. One in body. Boom. Yes, absolutely. One in the Lord. We are one in Christ. We are one in the Father. We are one. One. Go ahead. One in spirit. You know what? We're not going to run out of answers. Keep on. One in mind. Yes, we have one mind. We should have the mind of Christ. One mind, the mind of Christ. Any more? One soul. Is that what you said? Yes, absolutely right. We are one. We are so knit together. We are like, wow, we are so good. So not we, but Christ in us, so good. What he made us one. We are wonderful. That's what we are. We are one in Christ. Anything else? One in mission. Boom, scripture right there. We are one in mission. We are one shy group because we stopped talking. We are one, though, aren't we one? So we are one, and I love that. Like Jesus didn't say we are many. I mean, Paul goes on about how we are one body and many members and one in unity and that. But it's better than that. Did you notice that when it says things like we are one mind, one mission, one spirit, one God, you know what our boardroom looks like then in conversation? Pretty easy. Some folks think we should be in debate and wrestling and bringing opposing points of view, and somebody needs to be the devil's advocate. No, we don't actually need an advocate for the devil. We just as soon not have him in the room. And I don't mean that person, but somebody advocating for the devil. We don't need that. You know what happens in a boardroom where we're all one? Things get done. It's really easy. Actually, it's beautiful. And when it's not really easy and it's not beautiful, we have to wonder why. What's wrong with that picture? Because that's not the picture God describes. I mean, if we're all on one mission and we're all about the one mission, and the one mission is not self, but it is God's mission, the great command, right? The great commission. Everything else should just kind of fall into place, just easily fall into place. It all works out. I mean, yeah, we might have to wrestle with how do we spend the money or how do we get the money or what do we do with the money. Isn't that funny how money gets to be an issue? Huh. They say that's one of the number one issues when it comes to marriage breakup. I got a feeling it's one of the number one issues when it comes to church family breakup, too. But we are one in family. Oh, look, my computer came back. How wonderful. But we are one in Christ. And so I thought I'd do something a little different today. I was going to show you a bit of our family photo album. We have a family tree, and it goes way back. And some of the pictures you'll be seeing this morning, you'll go, who's that? I know them all, by the way. And some of you know them all, and some of you know them some, and some of you don't know them at all. And that's okay. But the fact of the matter is, this is just the last, you know, say 15 years. And I mean, clearly it's not an exhaustive list of all the folks, but we dug around and found a bunch of pictures, and there's some of them. So during this morning's sermon time, I hope this doesn't totally distract you, and at the end of it, you go, oh, well, we saw a lot of pictures today. You know, like, if you can probably multitask. You can hear me and look at that, right? We can do that? And that's great. And if you, and if I happen to say something about, like, you know, those who are in opposition to what God has to say, and then your picture comes up, please don't think that was about you. It's random. You understand random. Now, if it happened, the Holy Spirit made sure your picture popped up at that very moment, that's not on me, okay? I mean, because I just was scrolling through all my photos from way back and off of two different computers, and then I got some from Pastor Andrew, and then they all just, I was just clicking and clicking and putting them on, and I sent them to John. I said, you figure it out. And so that's where we ended up. So please don't take offense. I don't think you will. But we're family. What a lovely family. And yeah, you know, I went to a funeral of some of my earthly family just the other day with Mom, and I saw family I never knew, never met. Some I hadn't seen in 30 years, and their family, but they could just as easily be strangers. And that's our earthly family, and they're beautiful. And that's our extended family, and I thank God for them. And I'm sure they were looking at me like, who's that guy? Just as much as I was looking at them going, who's that nice person? So our church identity, ladies and gentlemen, if you were wondering, Wainwright Pentecostal Assembly is your family church. Is your family church. In fact, it's everybody's family church. That works. You know who can possibly fit into family? Everybody. You name them, they fit. You know, and you know, in our earthly families, we think, well, you know, there's those difficult in-laws, there's that crazy uncle, there's that so-and-so of a so-and-so. But that's our earthly family, and please do not think that is what God had in mind. That was never his intention. Our earthly families are flawed. We are flawed. We are imperfect. We are, I think saying imperfect suggests we're nearly perfect. We are really messed up, okay? People are all messed up, so we fit real good together here. It means everybody can come into this place because we're all flawed. But the perfect picture of the family of God is better than that, is better than the earthly picture. In fact, Jesus refers to he and the Father and the Son, keeps talking about that relationship. And it's not just in the New Testament. The New Testament, for certain, it's all about Jesus, the Son of God. That's his favorite name for himself, the Son of God. And his favorite name for the Lord God is my Father, our Father, your Father, my Father. So we are a family church, and the idea of Father is in the Old Testament. In fact, Psalm 68:5, you might see that behind me. I don't know. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. Thank you, God. Or in Isaiah 64, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. And in Isaiah 63, for you are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. Yeah, we're not Jewish. We're not the physical sons and daughters of Abraham. Well, maybe I am. I don't know. But we are all sons and daughters of our Father God, the Old Testament God, the New Testament God, the always and forever, amen, God. Jesus made it very clear that he and the Father are one. Jesus said in John 14, and yeah, we love this, Have I been with you so long, you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. There's such a family resemblance here, he's saying. Are you kidding? Look at me. You see the Father. I love it. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. It's like at least look at what has been accomplished in the name of our Father. Jesus, there's such a closeness. They are one. And that's really hard to figure out. The closest thing we can come up with is husband and wife. The Lord also said that when two become one, when they become joined together, two become one flesh. And we who have experienced marriage and it's working, and but even when it's not working, we just know that we are two, but not two. We are one. And as one, when half of one is hurting, it's all hurting. And when half of one is in pain or stressed or whatever, we're both stressed. It's just how it is. We feel for each other. We get that. And Jesus and the Father are one. And don't we can't get this. I mean, in fact, there's three of them. The Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, and they are one. And they are not jealous of each other. They are not competitive. They are not restricting one from another. One is not better than the other. They're one. And we have a hard time sorting that out. But they don't. In heaven, there's no problem. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one. And in our finite human understanding, we're not going to ever fully comprehend that. And so we bend the knee, believe, and say amen. But it doesn't mean we just go, well, that's them and we can't do that. No, Jesus wants for us to be likewise with the Father. In fact, Jesus says, I only do what the Father is doing. I only say what the Father is saying. And maybe we ought to be that way too, because he goes on to say, in fact, I want that would be your experience as well. You know, I keep forgetting that there's pictures behind me, and every once in a while there's a big grin on somebody's face, and I go, what? I don't know. I wish I had a mirror, a little monitor, and then I'd be just loving that too. But I mean, I saw every one of these pictures, so I love them. I love them all. And we know that our Father in heaven is the source of all blessings. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. See, the Father is in Christ, and Christ Jesus is in the Father, and we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, and Christ is in the Father, and the Father is in Christ, and now we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, just to add to this wonderful blending of oneness. Isn't that great? We're one. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. It's not boring, and it's not easily grasped. It's precious. It's supernatural. James 1:7, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Oh, God always gets it right. He doesn't change. He's unchanging. He's always wonderful. He's the Father of lights, James says. That's amazing. And in Matthew 7:11, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? Of course not. Will he? No. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? See, our problem is we try to figure out God by our human standing. So we take our human experience of Father or our dad or whatever, and then we impose that on our heavenly Father and go, okay, that's what I got figured out. So our God is like my dad. No, actually, it's the other way around. Our fathers on earth should be more like our Father in heaven. Not our Father in heaven must be a lot like our fathers on earth. Just like our forever family, the church family, is not just like our family on earth. No, our family on earth ought to be more like our church family. It should be more like the way God describes family, that oneness, that closeness, that singularity, that selflessness, that love, that mercy, that grace, that sweetness that ought to be and rarely is. We seem to get glimpses of it here and there, and we go, and we're astounded. We go, oh, what a merciful thing. What a beautiful, what a precious, wow, that person. And we're astounded when, in fact, it should become common and regularly occurring, and not that we go, whatever. But we would go, well, of course we love each other like that. In fact, we're supposed to love each other like that. And we are sons and daughters of Father God. It stands to reason that we are sons and daughters of our Father God. But maybe we just don't accept it. Not everybody knows this. If you knew me from way back, knew Judy and me from when we first began serving here, you'd know that prior to coming here and for years, we were involved with foster care. And over the last 25 years, we've fostered nearly 30 children, mostly teenagers because we're crazy. And then we thought, well, that's not enough. We should actually run a group home too. So then we got ourselves into a situation managing a group home for Hope Mission. We had six more teenagers. And we were just gluttons for punishment. And we offered every child that came into our home the same thing. We said, we would love very much that we could be your parents and that you would be our children. And this would be the last home you live in until you grow up and are able to go out on your own. And that years from now, you'll still call us mom and dad. And years from now, you'll bring your children and they'll call us grandma and grandpa. We made that same offer to some 27 teenagers. Only two accepted it. Isn't that something? Only two. They were all offered it. We were sincere. We tried. We failed. We tried and tried and tried. They failed. We received them back. Went through a lot of battles. But two. I wonder, is that how God feels? He offers his Father, he offers himself as Father to all. But only some will accept him as Father. I see that. I wonder about that. And that was so hard. And we would see glimpses of it. And we've had contact with a few other of our foster children from over the years. But they never really bonded with us, never really accepted us. We never became one in any way, except for two. And I thank God for those two so much. Great joy in that. When we were in the group home working, I might have told you about, we had a young Korean boy named Tong. And, oh man, I went through battles with that kid. He was 5 foot nothing. But what a fight he had in him. What a challenge he was to me and all the staff. And I loved him. And after going through trial after trial after trial, and we finally had a breakthrough with this kid. And it had to get so much worse before it got better. And after it was all done and the dust had settled, he came to me one night. I was late into the night working the overnight shift because I was in Bible college all day taking care of church ministry about 30 hours a week, plus working the group home for 40 hours a week, so I was on the night shift. I got to sleep about on every Tuesday. And he came into my office late into the night, and he came up behind me. I was a little nervous, like, I knew he was back there. I hope he doesn't have a knife. And he came up behind me, and he hugged me. from behind, that little dude. And he went, "Thank you, Uncle Dan." Oh, he called me Uncle Dan. And that was so precious. Like, there was a breakthrough, and we became family. Thank you, Uncle Dan. I couldn't be his father. I was Uncle Dan. That's okay. We didn't really look a lot alike. And so I would be like that weird uncle. Anyways, I loved it. It was so precious, but it stuck. All the other kids started calling me Uncle Dan, which was weird, and I'm taking them to church, and they're all referring to me as Uncle Dan, and which confused everybody else at the church, which was awesome. I loved it. And you know, just it's wonderful when you have that kind of a breakthrough, and that family happens. We get it right, and it's not easy, but it's worth it. It's so worth it. Now, I just want to remind us all that if Jesus is Son of God, and God is Father, then it stands to reason that we are all sons and daughters of God. Now, we'll go right here. 1 John 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. It makes sense. So we are. Logically, we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The world just doesn't get us. That's okay. But what they need is to get God. And when they get God, when they figure out, when they finally say yes and receive Christ as Lord and say, yeah, Father, God, they'll get it instantly. Ephesians 1, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. Adoption as sons through Christ Jesus. You might not know this either. Two of my sons are adopted. Legally through the, you know, courts and all that. We've experienced all this. The human equivalent of what we're talking about here, through adoption, through this grafting in, through becoming family, that which was not family. It's wonderful. And it's patterned after God's intention for us. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. He did this on purpose. It was always what he wanted. I love that. Romans 8, 16, 17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If God is Father and Jesus is the firstborn of Son and we are all sons and daughters of God, basically, Paul's going, so it stands to reason that we are joint heirs with Jesus. We are brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ. We are not worthy. And yet, he says, yes. And as sons and daughters, then it only stands to reason that we are family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen? We sang it. We used to sing it. It's still true that we're family. Are we still glad? I am. I think we are. Matthew 12, beginning of verse 46. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. Now, if somebody's picture pops up right after this, please don't go. Well, but Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. To these not mothers and brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. That's Jesus' family. He's not diminishing the value of our earthly family. He's pointing out to something that is so precious and so hard to grasp and so important that we are all family. He's making a point here. He's not going, forget about your earthly family. They're just a bunch of, you know, whatever. Hey, Don, aren't you glad your sister and mom came this Sunday? Behold, sister, your mother, and your other sister. It's wonderful. Our earthly family, we love them. And when we get it right, we love them well. And God's saying, you know, but there's this other thing. It's not an idea, it's a reality. If we get it right, it's so good. If we could just get it right. He says, behold, all those who are my disciples are my brothers and my sisters and my mother. It doesn't say father. Paul's charge to Timothy regarding our relationship with one another in the household of faith. Did you ever notice this? Now, Paul's a young man in ministry, and you know, young men, I don't know, maybe their eyes can wander, or they can have trials and troubles and with other older men, with the battle for control and for being accepted and respected. But here he is in 1 Timothy 5:1-2. Do not sharply rebuke an older man. That's a bad idea, Timothy. But rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, the younger women as sisters, in all purity. Interesting, in all purity. Huh, pretty important this stuff. The family model works very well. It is how we ought to treat one another. Not your worst family nightmare, but your best imagined family. Now that's how it ought to work. That's the family model. Our human families are flawed, but in all purity, if we could get this right, if I would look at every younger woman in this church as a daughter, and I do, and there's none older than me, because I'm not dumb. Every woman that's younger than me, they're all either sister or daughter to me. And then there's a couple that I would call mom. And every man, either as brother or son or father. If we could all look at each other like that and care like that, and that's purity. You're not looking at like hubba hubba ding dong, or you know, like I'm really jealous of that one, or I really hate that one. I mean, whatever it is, that guy's such a jerk. No. In all purity, can we get this right? Can we get this right? In all purity, sweetly, rightly, without any self in there. I mean, that's so hard because you know, right in the very middle of our equation is self. And if we could just get out of ourself, out of our way, yeah. And then the question that Cain asked God, remember, you remember God, Cain and Abel, brother. No, so this is not the example God wants for us, okay? Cain and Abel, obviously not. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? Well, God knows where he is. Cain just killed him, for goodness sake. Smashed, rock, dead, bleeding, buried. And he said, I do not know. Really? This is what Cain said. I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes. Yes. In case you were wondering. Yes. You are your brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper. You are your mother's keeper. You are your father's keeper. And you thought it was just your earthly brother, sister, mother, father? It's everybody. Yeah, we're supposed to love our neighbor, but we're supposed to treat our forever family as family. Better even yet, you love your neighbor, but like fall over in love for your family. Tripping over like, oh, I want to love you better. I want to be so, can we be so amazing to one another? Am I my brother's keeper? Absolutely yes. Big three letter, yes, boom, just, it, you are. And then, you know this. This is one of the final acts of Christ before his death on the cross. Hanging on the cross. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, we know that's John because it's the book of John, but John doesn't like to mention his own name because he's figured out not to be all about self. He loved standing nearby. He said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour on, the disciple took her into his own household. See, he wasn't just making sure somebody took care of mom, by the way. This was an example for all of us, for all time. Because, you know what? Mary had numerous other sons. But Jesus made a point for all of us to catch at that moment on the cross. One more lesson for y'all. Behold your mother. Behold your brother. Behold your sister. Look around this room. We are family. Jesus would be saying to you right now, behold your sister. Behold your brother. There they are. And from that moment forward, they took care of each other. That's what we're supposed to do. We are more than family. We are members of our Father's forever family. I'm very glad for that. So please, family, if you have a need, let somebody in the family know that we can help each other. Amen? If you see a need, go out of your way to help that one in need. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those rejoicing. Love each other so well that those outside of this household of faith, by the way, I love that. Household of faith sounds like family too. Those outside of the household of faith will see us loving each other so well and go, what in the world? Well, it's not in the world. What in heaven is the answer? And they'll go, that is really special. In fact, that's spectacular. I want some of that. Sign me up. I want to get in that family. Wainwright Pentecostal Assembly is your family church. And we want to be a growing family. We want to be a loving family. We want to go out of our way. We are going to make sure that when we say we are family, our doing agrees with our saying. And somebody's going to walk in here and go, what's that over there? Oh, it's our nursery. We love kids. Really? Oh, yeah. We have kids programs for all ages. We love them because they're family. Well, what, you got something for the teenagers? Oh, yeah, we got something for the teenagers. We love teenagers. Crazy about teenagers. Really? Got something for the young? Oh, we just love young adults. Oh, we just can't get enough young adults. More young adults, please. Really, what about the married couples? Anything going? Oh, yeah, we love family. We love married couples. We love the singles. We just love them all. They're such a great family. We love a family with all that variety, all that inclusiveness. And what about seniors? Oh, yeah, we got seniors, too. Our pastor's older than dirt. And we got all kinds of family. And we love family, which is weird. I'm old, and my mother's younger than me. And so... But we are so blessed. We love. And so we have to work on making sure what we're doing agrees with what we're saying. And we're taking strides. And I can't do it all. I can do some. And each one of you can do some. And a little upon a little amounts to much. Isn't that what the Lord says as well? That's in Proverbs. A little upon little, piled up, and there it is. It's like every grain of sand, and it's a whole beautiful beach, or every drop of rain. It's a drop in the bucket, but then suddenly it's a full bucket, and then many buckets, and suddenly it's a lake, and so many lakes, it's an ocean. But we got to start somewhere, and I'm Liam and I can't do it all. In fact, I have to be honest, Liam's been slacking off lately. Actually, I was trying to get him to child test all the toys in there. He did all right. You know. He sort of focused on one, and that was it. We're just like Liam that way, aren't we? We get stuck on one thing, and we just, this will be my ministry. So let's keep working on this, and let's just be family. Amen? That's all I got for you. I mean, I know I said it in a very, very long-winded sentence, but you had wonderful distraction. Oh, there they are. We are your family church. You are the family church. WPA, we are family. And as such, let's act that way. And let's see if we can't bring more folks into this family. I'd love to bring more children into the household where God would go, Lama, I would really want to adopt this one too. Let's get that one in the family. Let's graft this one in. Let's graft that one. How many people did you invite to church this week? I can think just off the top of my head, I invited 3 people this week. Not one of them's here. I'm never doing that again. No, I'm going to keep inviting them. In fact, I was at a store, and they were looking up our church account. And I said, yeah, Wainwright Pentecostal. I said, you probably don't know how to spell Pentecostal. He says, oh, yeah, I know how to spell Pentecostal. I said, really? Not many people do. He goes, yeah, I'm a Pentecostal. Huh. You know there's a Pentecostal church in town? He goes, yeah, I haven't been to church in a long time. Well, you know, just saying, you could come to our church sometime. You should try to find that guy and invite him too. Okay? It's like a needle in a haystack, but God will point you to him. And then you will find him and you will invite him to you. You can be going, wow, that's weird. A lot of people seem to be inviting me to the same church. I should maybe listen. So, but I'm not telling you who it is or where he works. But let's do that. Let's find, we're on a seek and rescue mission. Let's find them. Let's bring more people into the family. Let's bring them all in. Let's pack this place with family. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Benji, come back up here and help me and strum that guitar. And by the way, don't you just love that Benji was leading us this morning in worship? I enjoyed that so much. Yeah, I remember when he was just a little guy. I love this guy. In fact, I call him Benjito. He's not Mexican. You knew that. But he's my friend Benjito. He's my brother in Christ, and I love that guy. And he is a dear, dear man of God. And what a sweet spirit. Thank God for him. And I thank God for every one of you. I could tell stories about everybody in this church. I know good stories about every one of you. And we've all had interaction. Let's get to know our family real good and love each other real good. Take that time. Oh, Lord, thank you, God, so much for this church family. Thank you for all the differences, all the interesting variations, sons and daughters, all that each bring. We are filled with diversity, but such sweet unity because we have our Father God and our brother Christ Jesus in common. You are our Father, and we are all your sons and daughters. May we be better at loving each other, and may our resemblance, our family resemblance, be striking. Though we are of all different ethnicities, backgrounds, and ages, but there would be something obviously strikingly similar in all of us. Our Christ-likeness. That we would resemble each one, our Father in heaven. We were made in your image. And may we more and more look like the image in which you created us. We would love and serve and care as brothers and sisters ought to, not as our earthly example, but as our perfect example in Christ the Son and God the Father. May we be like that. We ask this in Jesus' name. We all said, amen, amen. Benji, do you have a closing song for us?